The sugyas in Daf Yotes Amud Aleph, and I wanted to bring out some halacha lemaisa along with this discussion. Some people weren't so interested in the lamdas, so it was a hard, not interested, but challenging. And so I want to come back at the end to discuss the halachas, which we have mentioned in the past, but about whether or not you're allowed to hold the klaf of a megillah. Whether that's something that's permitted or not, you have to wash your hands beforehand or not wash your hands. So we'll get to that at the end, but let's first begin with some background about the Gemara and Megillah Daf Yotes, which discusses the fact that you have to write the Megillah on a ksav and dio, you have to write it on a klaf and ink. And the Rishonim point out that it seems to be unnecessary because there are two different sources. Here's an extra piece, much back to you, if you don't mind, to Josh. And that there are two different drushes the Gemara brings to the source of Megillah, requiring sefer and dio. And the Gemara calls Megillah a sefer and Igeres, and how do you really balance all these together? So the first suggestion is the Ritva, that the Ritva says there are two different aspects of the Megillah's Esther. And he ends up saying, in number one here, that everything is a very nice distinction, that he quotes from the Ramban, number one, that Dvarim Shebegufa, things that are really part of the physical aspect of the Megillah itself, Kigon Sirta, drawing the lines, Vidyo, the ink, Asok, a Sefer. We compare the Megillah Esther to a Sefer Torah when things have to do with the actual physical klaf. Umine Shetzricha Ksiva the Ibud Lishma. You have to write on it, has to have Ibud Lishma, which is when you process the leather, you make it into klaf, it has to be L'shem Sefer Torah, L'shem Megillah Esther. Shem Dvarim Shebegufa, these are things that are part of the actual guf, the actual klaf. And that's when we learn it as it's a sefer. Ubelav hachi lo chashuv sefer klal. And without those aspects, without there being sirtut, without there being dio or any ibud l'shma, it's not called a sefer. Aval b'davar shu chutz l'gufo, things that are external to the guf of the klaf. Aso kageris, we view this as a letter, the way you krosa, the way you read it, bein omed, bein yoshev. So the manner in which it's read, that's, it's not considered a sefer, that's called a nigeris. A person can read a letter standing up, sitting down, but things that have to do with actually the physical Megillah itself, that's when we compare it to a sefer Torah. That's the distinction with the Ritva. Makes a lot of sense, that everything works out very, very nicely. But the problem is the Shita of the Rambam. The Rambam, this explanation does not work for the Rambam, because as we saw in Hilchas Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, the Rambam brings all these halachas, that ein kosun es Megillah el bedio al gvil, you need to use ink and write it on a klaf. O al klaf k'sefer Torah. Vim kasu b'mei afza v'kil kondom k'sheira, other types of inks. Kasu b'shar mini tzivonim, if you use other types of colors, it's possible. That's all very nice. V'tricha kisa sirtut k'torah atma, you have to have the lines in the Megillah. But this is where the problem is. V'ein ha'or shala tzarech avda lushma. But when you process the leather, the skin, the klaf that's used for the Megillah, you don't need ibud lushma. That's the big kash in the Rambam. How come you don't need Ibud Lishma? If the distinction is true, that anything that's part of the guf of the Megillah, you have to compare it to a Sefer Torah, so then you should require Ibud Lishma, because that's part of the process of the Megillah itself. And therefore, this distinction doesn't work well within the Rambam. So, what's the pshat here? So, let's walk through the brisker of. We're not going to go through inside, I'm sorry. I'll say it outside just to make it easier. As a good recap, it happens to be the brisker of. This is not a critique on the brisker of, but sometimes when he gets very repetitive, it gets confusing and your head goes in circles. It's saying the same thing and you're trying to figure out if it's saying different things or not. But it really is saying the same thing, very repetitive. So that's why when I learn mine, I just really draw out the underline, so it kind of makes it a quarter of the size and everything kind of jumps out at you. But a lot of the stuff is quite repetitive. And the basic idea is as follows. This is the brisker of always. All the briskers always have two dinim. Then when it comes to Megillah Esther, there really are two dinim. And what are the two dinim? One is that it's Kisvei Kodesh. That's part of the 24 books of Tanakh. We have the five books of Chumash. We have the Nevi'im Rishonim, the Nevi'im Achronim, the Megillahs, and so on and so forth. So Megillah Esther is one of the 24 books of Tanakh. That's number one aspect. And part of being Kisvei Kodesh, what that means is it's Metame Es Yadayim. It's Metame your hands. Why is it Metame Es Yadayim? So the Gemara in Shabbos talks about that there was a gzera that the Kohanim used to leave in their lockers, used to leave the Truma. And the Truma was something given to the Kohanim. And they used to leave along with the Truma, they have the Kisvei Kodesh, the Megillah or Sefer Torah, whatever other Kisvei Kodesh they'd be walking around with. And what happens is if you leave food in your locker, as we all know and from high school, that they begin to attract animals, whether it's ants, whether it's mice. So the Gemara says that mice used to come to the lockers and eat the truma. Now, when it ate the truma, it also eat and start ruining the klaf. And that would be a bizayon to the klaf. So they made a gzera that if you put the kisei kodesh next to truma, it would be matame truma, it would be matame your hands. So you want to keep all hands and foot away the kisei kodesh. This way they ensured that they would not keep the kisei kodesh along with the truma in the same lockers to preserve the kisei kodesh. So that's a din, it's metame esyadayim. So that's something that only applies to the 24 books of Tanakh. It doesn't apply to a Gemara or a Sefer, or even a Chumash that's written in a Chumash as opposed to on a klaf. That's also not metame esyadayim. The din of metame esyadayim is only if the 24 books of Tanakh are written on klaf with all the halachas. That's what kisei kodesh, and that's what's metame esyadayim. That's one halacha. Halacha two, he says, is the inin of having to be yotze the mitzvah of a kriya, reading Megillah, from the Megillah that's written, that's ksiva. So in theory, this is not true, but I'm trying to bring out the points to be the extreme. In theory, you could suggest that I could be yotze the Megillah if it's written in a sefer, not a ksav, not a klaf. But let's say I have a chumash. The back of the chumash has Megillas Esther. So if it's written properly, I could be yotze my Megillas Esther from the reading the back of the stone chumash because it's written down properly, even though it's not a kisvei kodesh. Now, that's not really true. I'm just pointing out there's one idea of kisvei kodesh, which is the cloth and all the special things, and there's one is just getting a writing that's enough for me to be yotze the kriya, the mitzvah, shebo. And those are two different dinim, says the Brisker Rav, and he goes to bring proofs and nafkaminas between the two as kisvei kodesh versus just a proper writing so I fulfill my mitzvah of kriyas ha-megillah. Those are the two separate dinim. So the one nafkamina, he says, he brings an interesting point here, that there's a stira in two Rashis. The Gemara Bava Basra, which talks about all the 24 books of Tanakh, and who wrote them, Anshe Knesset Gedola, the Gemara says, wrote Yechezkel and Shemas Atreasar and Daniel Megillas Esther. And it goes on that, David wrote this, and Shlomo wrote this, and Shmuel HaNavi wrote this. So in that list, Megillas Esther was written by Anshe Knesset Gedola. And so Rashi makes an interesting comment there. Rashi and Bava Basra Daf Tezvav, you have it inside here also if you want in the new sheet. I think I put it here, yeah. Rashi, this is number 7. Rashi says, Kasu Yechezkel, Shenisnabe Bagola. Yechezkel had Nevua and Chutzlarts. That was a unique situation of having Nevua and Chutzlarts. Ve'enio de'alama lo Kasu Yechezkel ba'atmo. So Rashi asks the question, so why didn't Yechezkel himself write Yechezkel? If he had the Nevua, he was a very capable individual. Why does the Gemara say that Anshe Knesset Gedola wrote Yechezkel down? Imlo mipnei must have been, says Rashi, this is the Chiddush, shelo nidna nevua likase b'chutz la'arts, and kasvim elu la'achar shebal arts. Granted, Yechezkel was very special that he received nevua and chutz la'arts, he received Ruach HaKodesh and chutz la'arts, but that type of Ruach HaKodesh, that type of nevua cannot be written until you enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's just a klal that Rashi suggests. Now the problem is that we have that he says this as well in explaining V'chein Sefer Daniel Shaya Begola V'chein Megillas Esther. So what's he saying? Even though we know the story of Purim took place where? In Shushan, which was Chutz La'arts. Rashi says that it was only written once they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Because you can't write something outside Eretz Yisrael. But the difficulty is, now I didn't find this, I tried looking this up, maybe I misunderstood where the Brisker Rav was finding this from. He said there's a Rashi on Megillas Esther on the Pasuk when it says that Vatichta of Esther, I couldn't find this in the Rashi al Megillah, but he found the Rashi somewhere that says that the Megillah was written actually in Chutz La'arts. It wasn't written in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi in Bava Basra says the Megillah was written in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi on Megillas Esther says it was written in Chutz La'arts. Which one is it? So that's why he says this is a proof that there were really two dinim. Meaning what? The inyan of the story of Megillah and Biyotze, the reading of the Megillah, that was written in Chutz La'arts. There's no connection of Ruach HaKodesh to that point. That was all written in Chutz La'arts. But the aspect of it becoming part of Kisvei Kodesh, a part of putting it as part of the 24 books of Tanakh, so that, to make that officially, to codify it in the 24 books of Tanakh, that could only take place in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what he's saying. Stage one was Chutz La'arts, the actual storyline, and to be yotze the mitzvah of reading and writing it, that took place in Chutz La'arts, but that did not have a din of Kisvei Kodesh. That had a din of Ksivas Megillah and Kriyas Megillah. But once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, and now you could acknowledge that as being 24 books of Tanakh, so then Anshe Knesset Gedola wrote Megillat Esther and put it officially part of the 24 books of Tanakh as part of Kisvei Kodesh. So we see these two dinim are being really brought out when it comes to the history of how Megillah was written. There were two stages of how it was written. First Chutz La'aretz, and then in Eretz Yisrael. So now with this distinction between the mitzvah of Ksiva and Kriya versus Kisvei Kodesh, he now explains the inyan of why the Rambam thinks you don't need Ibud Lishma for the Megillah. What's the reason why? Remember what he said? Ibud Lishma, the Rambam says, has to do with Kisvei Kodesh. If I write a Chumash art scroll, I don't need to be Ibud Lishma. I don't need to cut the paper down and make the paper. It's not made of leather anyways, but there's no need for a Lishma when you're writing on something that's not Kisvei Kodesh. But when you're writing Kisvei Kodesh, such as Tefillin, you have to have Ibud Lishma for Tefillin, even though it's not one of the 24 books. But whenever there's Kedusha, you need to have Ibud Lishma. Mezuzah requires Ibud Lishma. A Sefer Torah requires Ibud Lishma. Ibud Lishma always indicates Kisvei Kodesh. So what he says here is that the Rambam doesn't learn, the fact that Megillah is Kisvei Kodesh is not derived from Sefer Torah. It stands alone. It's completely separate. And therefore, even though the Megillah is connected to a Sefer Torah, it's only connected to a Sefer Torah with regards to the Ksiva and Kriya of being Yotzei the Mitzvah. But with respect to the Kisvei Kodesh aspect, the Megillah stands alone. It's a Din B'fnei Atzmo. And we do not derive any halachas of Kisvei Kodesh from Sefer Torah. So although Sefer Torah does have a Din of Ibud Lishma, you have to process the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah with Ibud Lishma, that does not carry itself over to Megillat Esther, because Megillat Esther's aspect of Kisvei Kodesh stands completely alone. I mean, the Rambam's focus, as we'll see in the next paragraph, the last paragraph of the Brisker Rav, is that when the Rambam is describing Megillat Esther in Hilchos Megillah, he completely ignores the element of Kisvei Kodesh. He's talking about and describing the element of how do you write a Megillah so you're yod to the mitzvah. That first din of a ksiva to accomplish a kriya. That's what he's describing. And he has no interest in the Ibud Lishma. He's no interest in the Kisvei Kodesh aspect. That's a very minor point of the Rambam. And he completely ignores that. His focus is on the kriya and the ksiva and the kriya. And that aspect doesn't require Ibud Lishma at all. Ibud Lishma is only when you're trying to infuse something with kedusha. But how do you make matzah special? By lishma, by shmur matzah. Anything requiring a certain level of kedusha requires lishma. But since to be yotzei the mitzvah of Megillah, you don't need kisvei kodesh, you don't need lishma. And that's the Brisker Rav's understanding. The ibud lishma is the whole other aspect, which is not necessary for the Megillah. So with this idea, the Brisker Rav explains another kasha on the Rambam. There are two halachas, if you guys remember, you saw this on Daf Tezayin, that the way the Megillah is written, there was that Vav that had to be long by the Asar B'nei Haman. It's extended. And the way the Asar B'nei Haman are listed, it's supposed to be a Shira, a brick on top of brick, as opposed to usually a Shira is a brick, space, brick, and then space, brick, space. It goes like Azar Shir, it goes back and forth like that. When it comes to Asar B'nei Haman, there's two lines down like that. On this side, the S, the names on this side, and then blank in the middle. And these are two things that the Gemara writes. Now the Magen Mishnah wants to know, why does Rambam leave this out? When the Rambam describes the halachas of how to write a Megillah, he completely ignores the requirement of having this extended Vav, and he completely ignores the halacha of having the V'es on one side, and the names of the sons on the other side. He doesn't mention this at all. How could you completely ignore this? And so what the Brisker Rav says is, the Rambam seems to ignore entirely the aspect of Kisvei Kodesh. His focus is completely on how to write the Megillah so that you could fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. And with regard to fulfilling that mitzvah, you don't have to have an extended Vav, and you don't need to have the Shira, the bricks on top of the bricks. It's completely separate inyan. And with this, he proves that since the Rambam's focus on Hilchas Megillah is not on the Kisvei Kodesh aspect, but it's focused on how to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah. So for that reason, you're able to ignore all the Kisvei Kodesh aspects. You could ignore the long Vav. You could ignore the positioning of the letters for the Asaris B'nei Haman. You could ignore the fact of Ibud Lashma, because those are all aspects that relate to the Kisvei Kodesh aspect, which is not the focus of the Rambam. So that's how he understands the Shita of the Rambam. Hope that was somewhat of a clear summary without looking everything inside. Now let's go to some halacha l'maisa. I mentioned in the beginning about touching the Megillah, the klaf of the Megillah. And this touching the klaf of the Megillah, which is very halacha l'maisa, and it does hinge upon this conversation of whether or not it's Kisvei Kodesh or not Kisvei Kodesh, and whether or not it's Metame Es Yadayim. So I gave new sheets here. If you look at...
Sorry if you already made this clear before. I apologize for being late. If you didn't have the long vav, if you didn't have the way the lines were with B'nai Haman, if you didn't have Ibud Lishma, then you would be Yotzei the Megillah. That's part A of the question. Mm-hmm. And part two is, so it's not required. We just do it, but it's not required.
Correct.
And so the Megillah is completely kosher in every way. It just simply does not require those.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, if you
know, it is
right. Exactly. But as just like if you have a chumash, the Megillas Esther appears at the back of the art scroll, that exists as the Megillas Esther, and you might, let's say in theory, could be Yotzei maybe the mitzvah that way.
You could be
Yotzei. It wouldn't be Kisvei Kodesh in that if I touch that art scroll, it wouldn't make my hands tame. Only if you write it in this aspect of Kisvei Kodesh will it then be Metame Sedayim. As opposed to, let's say, Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, you can't separate the two. But Kriyas HaTorah, to be Yotzei, you have to have the Kisvei Kodesh in order to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. And that's the aspect that Brisker Rav really brings out here, that these two elements can be divorced from each other and you can be having one without the other. So now let's go through, if you look inside number 10, the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, again, a very important halacha. This is in Hilchos Kriyas Sefer Torah, Simen Kuf Mem Zayin. Oser Le'echel Sefer Torah Arum, below mitpachas. You cannot hold on to the Sefer Torah, the klaf, and arum, which means without any separation, without a, the talus is usually what's used, or some other, maybe they take the galila thing that goes around the Sefer Torah to hold on to the klaf. This way we don't touch it directly. Anyone know where this Gemara is found, by the way, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes from? That you can't touch a Sefer Torah without a mitpachas? The last daf of Maseches Megillah. We'll get there soon. So the Shulchan Aruch says again, you can't touch the klaf of a Sefer Torah without there being a separation. V'yeshom, when the Rama adds, Dehu hadin shar kisvei kodesh. This also holds true of other kisvei kodesh. Some places they lain from in the haftarah. They lain from Nevi'im. They have a Yeshaya, they have a Yeshua, whatever they're laining from, they have those kisvei kodesh as well. So this same halach would apply. You shouldn't touch it without any separation, according to some opinions. V'lo nahu gugain, this is not our practice, says the Rama. But even though this is not our practice, tov lahachmir im lo nata yadav. It's best to be stringent and not to touch the klaf if you didn't wash your hands. But if you did wash your hands, so then you are able to touch the kisvei kodesh because it's a machlokas. I think I mentioned this in the past.
Yeah,
exactly. Rav Shechter. When I showed the Megillah, the mezuzah to him, I mentioned it last week, I think, right? The mezuzah, he wouldn't touch it, and I didn't know why he wouldn't touch it until I learned this halacha later on, that ideally you shouldn't be touching the mezuzah or any other klaf unless you've washed your hands first. So we see from the Rama that the practice was not to be machmir, but he recommends that one does wash their hands before touching any of the klaf. So look what the Mishabura writes in number 11, Sif Katan Dalet, Velo Nahugugen. This has not been the practice, meaning that people, Hainu, Af Be'osan Sheksuv Mashuris Valaklaf, Kedin. Even those klaf, those Nevi'im, let's say, that are written properly on klaf and with Ashuris and their proper ink, could go in Megillas Esther. Gam keinagu ha'olam lahakel umisa'am. The practice of everyone is to be lenient, and you could touch them. Umisa'im harama. The Rama concludes, debazet tov lahachmir. With this, it's better to be stringent. Im lo natal yadav, if you didn't wash your hands. Wrote to Lomar. Shehem stam yadayim. That the stam yadayim. Stam yadayim askaniosheim, the Gemara says. The hands are always moving, and that's why we wash the hands. One of the reasons why we wash hands in the morning, according to one opinion, is because your hands are touching places where you're dirty. Your hair, parts of the body which are covered, your hands are dirty because you sleep that way, and the hands are just always moving. That's skanios. They're osik and things all the time. So you touch things and you get dirty. So therefore, stam yadayim, you could assume, are dirty, or tame. V'choshishin shema nagu b'makum ha'metuna. If a person touched an area where it was dirty, aval kishanata yadav, when a person washes his hands, Ein lahachmir bazeh. The Rama says one need not be stringent. However, b'sefer Torah, afilu b'kihai gavna shenata yadav gam kein asaliga b'blimat pachas. When it comes to a sefer Torah, even if you did wash your hands, the practice is you should not touch it at all without there being a separation. Now, I never looked into it, but I imagine a sofer couldn't really accomplish this. A sofer probably does have to touch a cloth. It would be, I don't imagine he wears gloves all the time. That could be wrong, though. But they have to, I guess. This is what they rely on. So even though the practice, the halach is that you're not supposed to touch it, the makum ef sharp, they're trying to write a sefer Torah, it would be impossible to write without the gloves, and then you're allowed to touch it.
Always told me that the halachas of not touching cloth directly are only when the Torah is in use, not when it's sitting on the table and it's
That doesn't seem to be the case here, though.
I'm just saying I specifically asked him, because one time I had a sefer Torah here, then I wanted him to look at something and we took it out. I was being careful not to touch the cloth because it's not necessary. As long as it's not being used.
I'll have to ask.
When somebody does a hag, but at least that was my understanding.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
Yeah, I don't think that's correct, but I'll ask him. When I see him, I'll see what he says about that. Okay.
But if a sofer is writing something, he pushes, like, your hands might be dirty, right?
Right.
But we have a concept in, like, if you're, you come wash your hands, and, like, you're learning, and you go to daven, you have to go rewash hands because you're learning, so you're in control of your hands, and you have to go, like, I mean, wouldn't it be the same thing here where you're, if someone's writing a Megillah or Zizah, that at all time that they're in something Kodesh, so it would be assumed they're having dirty hands and
correct.
To go.
Yeah, so but I think when it comes to Sefer Torah, it's more than just the hands being dirty. Seems to be a more of an inyan of the Gemara says at the end of Megillah, as I mentioned, I don't have it in front of me, there seems to be an isser to touch the cloth of a Sefer Torah, irrespective of the hands being dirty or not dirty.
That's the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah. He uses the word usser, not just like...
Exactly.
Not just like Tov L'Achmir.
Yeah, so I didn't bring the Mishnah Berurah what he writes in the earlier point. It's only later on, but I think there's is a stronger isser by Sefer Torah. But my understanding, I would assume, but I'll have to find out, when it comes to sofer, since it's impossible to write it without touching the cloth, it's really letzorach the mitzvah of writing, so that might be part of the heter, but I don't know for sure. Okay. Now, the Chassam Sofer writes in number 12 here. This is on Hilchas Megillah. So he says in Tafresh Tzadi Aleph that Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf says, the Megillah lo bay matpachas. So he quotes that, he says, well, how could the Rama require you, or really encourage you, to use a cloth and not to touch a cloth of the Megillah? There's a Mefurish Gemara in Sanhedrin that says you don't need a matpachas. You don't need to have a cloth in between your hands. You can touch the cloth of a Megillah. So he quotes the Hamnam HaRiyavetz, which is Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden writes in a tshuva, the Megillah Baruch HaKodesh Nemra, Likros Ulichtov, Asa Liga Ba'arim. He says the question of touching the Megillah or not hinges upon whether or not Megillah was written Baruch HaKodesh or not Ruach HaKodesh. Now, I didn't bring this source, but with the Gemara Daf Mem Gimel, Megillah Daf Zion, there's a machlokas whether or not Megillah was written Baruch HaKodesh or not Ruach HaKodesh. That's a debate in the Gemara. And what Rav Yaakov Emden says, that debate tells you whether or not it's metami yadayim or not. And it tells you whether or not you're allowed to touch the cloth or not touch the cloth. So he says, if you assume that that's Ruach HaKodesh Nemra, then it would be aser to touch the Megillah Arum. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says that you're allowed to touch the Megillah without a matpachas, that Gemara in Sanhedrin assumes that the Megillah was not written with Ruach HaKodesh. It does not have a din of Kisvei Kodesh. So this question of Kisvei Kodesh or not Kisvei Kodesh is going to have an afkamina whether or not you could touch the cloth with your hands directly or not. And what the Chassam Sofer concludes here saying,
I don't understand that breakdown. All the other Svarim of Tanakh, all the other Svarim of Nach, they're written by Nevi'im. I mean, they're certainly written with more than Ruach HaKodesh. But they're still called Kisvei Kodesh.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Why is Kisvei Kodesh connected to? Why is Kisvei Kodesh connected to whether it's Ruach HaKodesh or not? We see things that are called
that's
Kisvei Kodesh, and we know they were written with Ruach HaKodesh.
Yeah, that's the point. That's right. Connected. Yeah, that's in essence. Because of Yeshua and Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, all the Svarim were written with the Ruach HaKodesh, they certainly have a din of Kisvei Kodesh.
But it's mutar.
No, you can't touch. That's what we're saying. that you shouldn't touch the Kisvei Kodesh. That's what Ramah ends up saying.
Oh, so this is, okay.
But
so
Megillah...
This is at odds with...
Exactly. The Megillah says, there's Machlokas, maybe some say you actually can touch the Megillah, because Megillah may not have been written with Ruach HaKodesh. So we're more lenient, or at least there's a debate by Megillah, because since the debate whether Megillah is a Kisvei Kodesh or not, whether it's Ruach HaKodesh or not, so that trickles down to whether you could touch Megillah or not. They all connect to each other. Now, what the Chassam Sofer concludes here, this might be a raya from what Ben is suggesting, what he heard from Rabbi Lieberman. He quotes at the end of number 12 here, that he, from his Rebbe. Anyone know who the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe was? Not as well known as Chassam Sofer, Rav Nosson Adler. He quotes Ra'isi Lemori Zetzal, my Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler. He quotes him often. Shebashas Kriyasa Hayanizar Liga Barim. While he would read, this might be what Binyan Ben-Ish was referring to, while he read, then he would be very careful from touching it alone. Now, is that saying when he wouldn't be reading it, he would touch it? Or what are you saying? I didn't see my Rebbe touch it. I didn't really see him doing anything other than reading. I never saw him like take it out from his shelf. But I did notice one time when he was about Kare, I noticed during the reading that he wouldn't touch it. So that to be medayik that when he didn't read it, he was able to touch it? I don't know. We don't know. We have to figure out that answer. But this is something that he saw his own Rebbe be careful, that we seem to be machmir not to touch the cloth of the Megillah, certainly during Shas Kriya, and maybe even after, even when it's not Shas Kriya.
Clearly, he believes that that's a distinction. He could have easily said, I didn't see my Rebbe touch the, I saw my Rebbe was careful not to touch the cloth.
No, but I'm saying is that he right, what I'm saying is that he only saw his, possibly he only saw his Rebbe
perhaps,
read it.
But why does he have to tell me that?
Because that's what he saw.
I understand. So
he didn't see him take a roller coaster ride with the Megillah's Esther, so he didn't say that.
That's fine, but he doesn't say that. Generally speaking, a person doesn't include a nuance unless they feel that nuance is important.
I don't know.
Somebody like him.
I don't know if that's a raya. But again, I'm saying it's an open question. I don't see it as a raya, but it's an open question whether or not he's being clear that only during Kriya is it usher, but not Kriya is permitted, or that's simply what he observed. He only saw his Rebbe reading it. He didn't see his Rebbe holding the Megillah other times. So that's either we see it's very much encouraged that a person shouldn't touch it, and the Ramah says if you want to touch it, you should really wash your hands beforehand. Now it's obviously very hard if you're holding a Megillah. How do you hold it if you can't hold it? I mean, there's no handles on it, as opposed to a Sefer Torah and also the Nevi'im. There are those handles, so you could avoid that. Which, by the way, I think I mentioned this in the past as well. The poskim do bring down that ideally you shouldn't hold the Ati Chaim either, the handles as well. That's an extension of the cloth. Now, that's a chumrah. It's a chumrah that the Mishabura does mention, but it's one of those chumrahs that they don't really mention outside. No one knows about it. So if a guy is doing it, it comes off as gaiva, as arrogance, that I'm more machmir than you, that I don't touch the Atzei Chaim. Now, so one time I had an aliyah. So the Mishabura brings down here, such an Indian, a person wants to do it, do it with Derech Chachma. So there's another halacha I didn't know either. When I saw once got an aliyah, a lot of halachas I don't know and didn't know back years ago. I once had an aliyah in YU. It was a tainus mincha afternoon. It was a mincha. I had Levi, and then Rav Shechter had Shlishi, and he gets up to get an aliyah, and then like his talus fell down, like kind of like went over his arms. It wasn't like hanging over anymore, and he didn't fix it. And he just kind of took the Atzei Chaim with his talus and held it that way. It seemed that he was doing it unintentionally, but it seemed like he had some intent involved. So I looked into it a little bit, and it seemed that he was machmir on this Mishnah Berurah of not touching the Atzei Chaim using his talus. So now it's very hard. I've tried this before. It's very hard because...
let his talus fall down, so it looked like it was
exactly.
An accident.
So you're not doing it through Gaiva, I'm Yehura, that I'm better than you are. I've tried this before. Maybe I'm not as coordinated as Rav Shechter is, but when you're doing it, and I'm holding on to the talus, and it gets very slippery, the Atzei Chaim, then my talus starts falling off my shoulders, it gets very, very hard. So you have to have like those non-slip taluses, or just be very, very coordinated, which I thought I was coordinated, but I guess I have to work on these skills a little bit. So this is something that's brought down. Now, yes, it's a problem that how do you do Hagba then? I would not recommend doing Hagba with a talus, because that's very slippery. So I think the idea is if a person can avoid it, to whatever he can, avoid touching it, but again, it's a chumrah, and it's brought down in a halacha. Now, the problem is with Megillas Esther, there are no handles at all in the first place. So how do you hold it? So do you wear gloves to shul? Do you hold it? You're not wearing a towel at nighttime. So it becomes tricky. So even when you're reading it, if you're up there as a Baal Kore, how do you flip over the pages and you fold them over? How do you accomplish that? Maybe they're using a towel up there. I don't know. It's not an easy thing, but we see there's a chumrah that some were brought down to try to avoid touching it. Now look what the Shai Tshuva writes in number 13. Shai Tshuva writes, "V'ein minhag kidvar." We don't pasuk in this way. Vein is harn klal. Milikacha Megillah b'lamat pachas. We're not makbid. We allow touching the Megillah even without a covering. V'hainu b'pshitas divrei hashas. D'le'inyan zeh arminan kevan d'nikres igaris. Going back to our sugya, since a Megillah is called a letter, b'lamat pachas sagila. There's no din of kedusha to it. Just like a letter you could touch, so too you could touch a Megillah. V'yafa gav d'nikres sefer. Even though it's also called the sefer, so maybe we should think it's like a sefer Torah and not touch it. Those are only with respect to things that make it into a proper Megillah. Things that are only relevant after it's already been written, once it's already a kosher ksiva, so then we view it as a letter, very similar to the Ritva's distinction. This has nothing to do with writing the letter, but rather writing the sefer, but has to do with after the fact what to do with it. Then we have a din of a letter, and you are allowed to touch the cloth. Even though the Megillah is metame yadayim, that's another din, we are allowed to touch it directly. That's what he says. And Shemehai Taimah, he brings this as a raya, Tikin Shnei Amudim B'Sifrei Torah. That's why Sifrei Torah has two Atzei Chaim, it's two Amudim, Mipnei She'osu Lechaz Arim. Ma'ashein Kein Kisrei Kodesh, and Megillah, where there is no Issa to touch your cloth, that's why there is no Atzei Chaim on Megillah. But he concludes the last line of the Shai Tshuva, V'ha'olam Ein Nizharim Litol Estam Yadayim. The practice is not to hold a Megillah without washing your hands, Kodim and Tiyas Yadayim. The Tov Lahachmir, Kemoshikos Beli Rabba, best practice is if you have a Megillah that you bring to Shul, wash your hands beforehand. You don't have to have like two or three times. You can just wash your hands just so they're clean, and then you can hold the Megillah afterwards just to be Machmir for the Shita. Now let's finish off the Ber Halacha. Anyone here who's a Bal Kore, anyone here read the Megillah? So this is a very important question. Let's say you are having your Suda, whether it's eating at night or during the daytime on Purim. And you had a knock at your door, I didn't hear the Megillah, do you mind giving me 25 minutes of your time to read the Megillah? So do you have to then wash your hands or not? Look what the Ber Halacha says. He says, number 14, he quotes a Chayei Adam. Hanogeya be'emsa sudasa, a person's in the middle of his suda, b'sefer Torah or b'tfilin or b'tzuos, he touches while he's in the middle of the suda, he touches the sefer Torah for whatever reason, or he touches his tefillin or even the straps, rotzei lomar, kishem im ha'tefillin, kedisa b'misha d'yadayim, fine, or he touches the Megillas Esther. Kedin, tzarech li tal yadav, sherei kol elu metamin es yadayim. So we have the halacha that we saw before, that Megillas Esther is metam es yadayim. So if I'm having a meal, and I touch the Megillah during the meal, my hands are now considered tamei. I would now have to wash my hands again to go back to having my meal. Says the Mishnah Brura, La Nias Daiti Ein Dvar V'Muchrochem Klal. I don't think these words of the Chayei Adam are correct. Because the halacha of that a Kisrei Kodesh is Metam Mesedayim, it's only Gazu Netila L'Tshuma. This is only respect to the world of Tshuma. That what? If I touch a klaf, Kisrei Kodesh, my hands are Tamei. What do you mean they're Tamei? They're Tamei in that if I now touch Tshuma as a Kohen, the Tshuma is now Tamei. But it doesn't apply to chulin. Mikol makom, he says in the Ber Halacha, there's a last page now. Nira dehainu rak linin tshuma, but not with respect of al jumping down a couple lines. Aval lo matzinu sheyigzru gam al chulin. We never find anywhere that kisrei kodesh is metame person's hands, which in turn is going to metame chulin. Linoge b'sefer acher netila dechol ikari b'tshuma hu rak machmas knas shenaga b'sefer. Remember, the whole reason why they said Kisrei Kodesh is Metamei Yadayim is because the Kohanim used to leave them in the same locker, the Tshuma food, next to the Kisrei Kodesh. So the whole Gzeir was only about Tshuma, nothing about Chulin. Now this is a concept we have many places in Shas. Whenever Gzeir was made, they made it a very defined Gzeir only to the exact details of the motivation of the Gzeir. So if the motivation of the Gzeira was Tshuma, so the Gzeira only applied to Tshuma, nothing beyond. There are a number of Gemaras like this. There's a Ramban that's similar to this, Al-Torah, when it talks about Nadav v'Aviv, when they were drunk and entered into the Kodesh Kedashim, and they ended up being killed. So there's a machlokas whether or not the Isser of entering into the Beis HaMikdash applies to only drinking wine, or does it apply to all alcoholic beverages. That's the machlokas tonight. Ramban seems to say the whole reason why it's usher to go into the Beis HaMikdash drunk is because Nadav Aviu walked in drunk. So that whole gzeira, the gzeira from the Torah, was only exactly how it was done. Nadav Aviu drank wine, So then the Isser is only one who drinks wine. It's logical to say if you drink anything else that makes you under the influence, that should also be bichlal. Doesn't make a difference. Whenever there's a motivation, a certain ma'isa really inspired a gzera, the gzera is only exactly the way it was done. We have gemaras in, yeah. Right, so that's the point. We don't care about the logic. Gzeira, in some cases, the gzeira is only exactly how it was.
They were drunk, not that they drank wine.
Right, so that would be the other approach. The other approach is they were drunk, they made a mistake. So anytime you're under the influence, so the same thing should be true of the drugs. The person's on drugs. So we don't find that extension, but the opinion that thinks only drinking wine would be chayv is because that's what with the maisa happened, and that was the gzeira. There's a similar case, I don't remember exactly the details, but the Gemara in Yuma talks about a isser of wearing certain types of shoes on Shabbos because you might end up taking it off and you might carry it on Shabbos. And the Gemara says that same halacha should apply to Yom Kippur because there's also you can't carry Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says since the Maisa, some event once happened which inspired the Gzeira, took place on Shabbos, so it only applies to Shabbos and this particular shoe. It's logical to say it should be on Yom Kippur and to other shoes as well. When the Gzeira is was inspired by a certain motivation, a certain Maisa, we only take those details. And so since this Gzeira of Kisvei Kodesh, Metami Adayim, was really inspired by the connection to Truma, so the Gzeira only applied to Metami Adayim to Truma. But to say that my hands are going to be tamei, it's going to be tamei chulin, and now require me to wash my hands before eating chulin, that, says the Berlacha, is incorrect. In the end of the day, bottom line, says the Berlacha, if a person does need or feel the need to touch Kisvei Kodesh during the Suda, whether it's Megillas Esther or Shashim or Rus or any other Kisvei Kodesh, the Berlacha concludes, Mikol Malkum Efshir Dilichadchila, Nachon Lizahir Bazeh, Shalol Liga B'Emsa Suda. It's best practice to avoid touching it entirely during the meal and wait till afterwards to avoid the Shaila. We'll stop here.